Rabbi Akiva's opinion on Gimel Tammuz. Since everything in the life of a chassid of the Rebbe is governed by the Rebbe's teachings, what did the Rebbe say to do in these situations? So when something occurs for which we don't have explicit instructions, such as Gimel Tammuz, so we have to look in the Rebbe's Torah, try to find and figure out what is the guidance that the Rebbe gave, because there is guidance for everything. So many chassidim will say that the Rebbe, in fact, does give explicit instructions for Gimel Tammuz. They'll say, take a look at the Sicha Tavshinon Aleph, and there the Rebbe writes that Gimel Tammuz represents Aschalta de Geula. That's it. Gimel Tammuz, Aschalta de Geula. Nonetheless, not every chassid today is prepared to accept that what the Rebbe said in that Sicha about Aschalta de Geula, speaking about the Geula of the Friedrich Rebbe and Tavresh Bezain, not everyone will agree that it can apply so easily to Gimel Tammuz Tavshinon Dalet. So even so, this split, how chassidim respond to the situation after Gimel Tammuz, Tavshin Nun Dalet, is itself addressed by the Rebbe, as we hope to show. In Likutei Sichas, Chelek Yutes, volume 19 of Likutei Sichas, there's a famous sicha explaining an agadat at the end of Meseches Makkos. So the agadat there describes two incidents involving Rabbi Akiva while he was traveling with three other of the sages. We're not going to bring the whole story over there, just the second incident. So the Gemara there says that Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Akiva, big chachamim of those days of the Tanoim, were going up to Yerushalayim, and this is after the Churban HaBayis. When they reached the point where they could see the Har HaBayis, they all tore their garments as a sign of mourning, also Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe notes. As they proceeded and they approached the site of the Beis HaMikdash, they saw a fox run out of the Kodesh Kodoshim. So the three sages, Rabbi Gamliel, Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yehoshua started to cry. Rabbi Akiva, he laughed. So they said to him, "Why are you laughing?" And he said to them, "Why are you crying?" So they said, "The place about which the verse states a non-Koyan who approaches will die, and now foxes are going there, and we shouldn't cry?" So Rabbi Akiva responded, "That's why I'm laughing. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu states, 'Two faithful witnesses will give testimony, Uriah Koyan and Zechariah Novi.' So the Nevuah of one is dependent on the other. Uriah, he gave a Nevuah about the destruction of Beis HaMikdash that Tzion will be plowed like a field. Zechariah prophesied about the Geula that elderly men and women will yet sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Akiva said, "Now that I see that Uriah's prophecy was fulfilled, I'm certain that Zechariah's will be fulfilled." And they said to him, "Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva, you have comforted us, you have comforted us." That is the end of the Agarata at the end of Meseches Makkos. So the Rebbe is a whole sicha, very interesting sicha, on this small section of Gemara. The Rebbe asks a number of questions, and the Rebbe answers them over the course of the sicha, and we're not going to go here into the whole sicha. What we want is to understand how the Rebbe explains Rabbi Akiva's laughter upon seeing something as drastic as a fox running out of Kodesh Kodashim. And the Rebbe explains Rabbi Akiva's view as follows. That Rabbi Akiva was able to see the good even in something that appears as not good at all, since the good will come out in the end. So his opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, was that the future good takes precedence over anything not so good in the present. Thus, if one knows, according to Torah, some sort of hergish or whatever calculations you make, but if according to Torah, you know that the destruction that you see now will lead to Geula, this demands, according to Rabbi Akiva, that you relate to the future Geula and not to the present destruction. That's exactly the situation that they were in. That's why he laughed. And in the Rebbe's words, Rabbi Akiva only saw the future good. In other words, Rabbi Akiva sees where does this lead, and he goes according to the final results. And more than that, in the pasuk of the destruction itself, the Churban, so it likens the destruction to a plowed field. So what's a plowed field? Plowed field, Rabbi explains, is actually part of the growth process. It's not a negative step which one must suffer in order to get to better things down the road. There are other mashalim for that. But a plow, for you plow the field. It's part of the sowing and reaping of the field that you're going to have produce on it. It's part of the process. It's not even a descent for the sake of an ascent. It's part of the process. In other words, not only the future good must take precedence over the unpleasant things that you see now, but the present itself is part of the future good. And that's why the other chachamim, the other sages, were comforted by Rabbi Akiva's words, because he showed them how the future good was actually already present in the here and now, despite how unpleasant the here and now might appear. So let's translate this, how it might apply to Gilmul Tammuz in our times. All of the four sages agree that on the face of it, remember, we're taking the sages from this story in the Gemara, applying it to Gimel Tammuz today. So all four sages agree that on the face of it, Gimel Tammuz is not a happy event. Nobody is happy that we don't see the Rebbe, that we don't hear the Rebbe, we don't participate in Verbrengens or all the things with the Rebbe. At the same time, it's appreciated by everyone that we are proceeding towards Mashiach, and whatever is lacking now is only temporary. The future is good, but the present is not so pleasant. So, why do those who follow the approach of the three sages cry? Because of what is lacking in the present. Even if they know that in the future it will be good, everything will be fixed. Along comes Rabbi Akiva, and not only does he not cry, he laughs. He makes a labor dicker for bringing on a Gimel Tammuz without even mentioning the word Hilula. What is Rabbi Akiva's secret? That he's not Chas v'Shalom, he's not a fool. He doesn't lack the ability to see what's going on. Rather, he learned the sources and he understands with the intellect of Rabbi Akiva, for example, that Mashiach is revealed and concealed. And thus he recognizes that even sees the future good that will come from this. If it says Mashiach is revealed and concealed. Oh, so this is part of Mashiach coming. And that's all that he sees. Not only that, but he understands that this one is dependent on the other. That's what it says about how he said about the two Nevuahs. That the revelation of the true and complete Geula, the revelation of Hashem's essence, Atzmus u'Mahus, are in fact dependent on us doing the work under our own power without relying on the Rebbe's visible presence to inspire us. This is the plowing that brings to the sowing and the harvesting. The future good is already here with us, hidden within the present that's not so pleasant. From Rabbi Akiva, we learned that this knowledge itself is enough to transform crying to laughter, even while the future good is still hidden. And you don't see, you only see the lacking. That's Rabbi Akiva's approach. One more point. In the Sicha, the Rebbe asks, why do we need to be told the names of these three Chachomim? After all, we don't find in this Agadita any difference of opinion among them. They're three who have one opinion and all the stories going on over there. And nor do we learn any Chiddush from them. So we don't need to know it was this one, it was that one who made a certain Chiddush, has a certain opinion. If it would tell us Rabbi Akiva and three of the sages went, seemingly that would be enough. That's what the Rebbe says, asks in the Sicha. Why do we have to know their names? So the Rebbe answers that we need to know their names, their identities, because from this we learn that they were all men of distinguished lineage. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi Ador. He was from Shevet Yehuda, from Beis Dovid. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, who himself, he became a Nasi in the future. He was a Kohen. He was a 10th generation from Ezra Sefer. And Rabbi Yehoshua was a Levi. Those who sing and made music in the Beis HaMikdash. So due to their outstanding yichus and their important positions, they were overwhelmed when they saw how low things had fallen after the Chorban. These are people who were in their blood connected with Beis HaMikdash and the leadership of Am Yisrael and what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash and the offerings to Hashem. And they were overwhelmed by seeing how everything had crashed in the Chorban. Rabbi Akiva, however, explains the Rebbe, he was Ben Gadim. He was a son of converts. And he himself had been in Am Haaretz until the age of 40, and only then he first started learning the basics of Torah. So Rabbi Akiva's very existence was proof of the tremendous good that can come out from the other side, the sitra achra, from that which appears outwardly to be not good. That's his whole mitzias. Thus, Rabbi Akiva was naturally able to see with great clarity the future good, regardless of how it seems at the present. Rabbi Akiva possessed what the other sages in our Agadah lacked, that despite their superlative backgrounds and positions and mamash, they were important people from important families, but they could not see the future good hidden in the not-so-pleasant present. That is, until Rabbi Akiva explained it to them. So if we translate that to our present situation, we see that the Rebbe is apprising us, telling us what to expect in the situation after Gimel Tammuz. That those with the most illustrious Gerzha Yechis, those who held the most visibly important positions in the Rebbe's staff, and those learning in the Moises that those people run, they taka might find it a difficult challenge to get past the present situation, which appears to be the opposite of good. To the contrary, the Baal Tshuvas and their families, the newcomers, they may find it easier to grasp the Rabbi Akiva perspective, to see that the concealment since Gimel Tammuz is actually, as the Rebbe explains in this Sicha, the beginning of the Geula. So if there are those who, after over 30 whatever years it is since Tav Shinun Daled, that they still haven't adopted Rabbi Akiva's perspective, so we are forced to say that those of us who do see Gimel Tammuz as the beginning of the Geula, we have to share the blame. The blame is on our shoulders, not just that they don't get it. How many years of wasted efforts spent arguing with each other, and it's still going on. If we, the Rabbi Akivas, who see in the way that Rabbi Akiva saw, would properly explain and will properly explain the concepts as they are found in Nigla and Chassidus, and not just for the sake of winning an argument and proving that we're right, but it's like, this is what it says. Then, this Agadah assures us that the others, at least those who are willing to discuss the matter, will come around to see the hidden inner good just as Rabbi Akiva sees them. Not only that, but they themselves will say, Nichamtanu, Nichamtanu, you have consoled us after over 30 years of crying. But the real Nichamtanu is the Gilu Mitzvah Shleimas, and so this alone, by relating in this way to the situation and to others, this alone will surely speed the Geula and bring about the ultimate Nichamtanu, Nichamtanu, the ultimate Hitzkalitz of the Rebbe, Melech HaMashiach. Yechi Adonai Nu Mareinu V'Rabbeinu, Melech HaMashiach L'Yeilam Void.